Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us.
Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Exodus 18, so you can begin looking that up now.
This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. Then we'll go to the sermon.
So let's hear the reading of Exodus 18.
Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had taken Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her home, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land," and the name of the other, Eleazar, for he said, "The God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And when he sent word to Moses, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her," Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel, in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. The next day Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country.
I've got a challenge for you. Ryan, you look pretty strong to me. I wonder, are you able to go over there, just this front pew here, and are you able to pick up
that hymn book right there, that red book right in front. Do you see it? Are you able to pick that up? Are you strong enough to pick up that book? This one right here, can you pick that up? That's pretty strong. Can you lift it above your head? Excellent. How about you put that down? I wonder, are you able to lift up these three things together? Can you pick all of that up together? Whoa, well done. You're strong. Look at those muscles. How about you put it down? Are you able to lift up this pew? Lift with your knees. Your knees. Oh, you're not quite able to do it, are you? Oh, maybe you need some help. You can sit down. Thank you, Ryan. You can have a go if you want, Ellie. Oh, I can just do it. Can just do it. Do you reckon you'd be able to move that pew out into the hall? Might give us a bit of extra room here. Do you think you'd move it out into the hall all by yourself? No. No. You reckon you could drag it? I'm doubtful you can drag it all that way. Down those steps as well? I'm not so sure. There are jobs that are too big for one person. I would not be able to move that all the way down there, down the steps, into the hall by myself, unless I was willing for that to get particularly damaged as it came crashing down the stairs as I'm dragging it. I might be able to drag it, but I think it would get damaged. There are jobs that are too big for one person. And you know, the Bible says that the church is a big thing for one person to be responsible for. Now, we can be thankful that Jesus is king of all of his church and that he is able to rule it all. But you know what? He's given to each individual church particular people to lead and to care for the church. And those people are called elders. Okay? And God has given them to the church to care for the church, to guide the church, to teach the church, to make sure that the church is honoring God. And so we need to be part of being a church is praying for our leaders, for the elders in the church, and praying that Jesus would raise up more. Do you know Jesus said that we were to pray that God would raise up more workers for the harvest? More workers to work in his church, more workers to go out into the world and to share the gospel. That's what Jesus said we should be praying for. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about elders and the fact that God gives elders to his church. And today, one thing we need to remember is that God doesn't want churches to just have one elder. He wants them to have many elders. Many elders, so that all of us can be cared for well. Because if there's just one person, it's like trying to lift up one of those pews all by yourself. It's too hard for one person. Too hard for one person to care for a church. So God gives and promises to give many elders so that we can all be cared for. Does that sound good? That's how much God loves us, that He gives to the church elders so that they would care for all of his people. So how about we pray that God would help us to keep thinking about elders and to be thankful that he so loved us that he gives us elders. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to show us your great love. You sent Jesus who died for us. You sent Jesus and you raised him to life. Also, we could be saved. Thank you that you have brought us to a church. And we thank you that you give elders to your church to care for the church. So help us as we keep thinking about elders and help this church to be thinking about elders. We pray that you would provide elders for our church, so that they would be able to care for all of us as they seek to honour Jesus, who is the great King of all of the church. So please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our God, we do thank you that you are a gracious God who cares for your people. And so as we come to your word and as we think about this topic, this issue of eldership, we pray that you would give us wisdom, that as we look to your word, we would see the importance of elders, and we would delight in your grace to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was a primary school kid swimming at the beach. The waves this particular day were huge, and one had just dropped down on top of me, sending me spinning underwater. Now, finally, I was able to make it to the surface, and almost immediately, there was another wave that came crashing down on top of me, again sending me spinning underwater. And so while I was underwater that second time, my lungs were burning. I hadn't had a chance to take a breath when I got up into the surface the first time. I was desperate for air. I was underwater for an eternity until finally I burst into the air, breathing deeply, thankful that another wave wasn't just right around the corner. Pretty much all of us know what it's like to feel as though you're drowning. Maybe you've never actually had that experience with water, but you have felt swamped, overwhelmed by responsibilities. Items on your to-do list which would never get checked off, that because the urgent is always taking your attention away from what is important. I hope this doesn't sound self-serving, but that's the way that it is for church leaders. There are lots to do when you are an elder in the church. There are the practical, everyday, day-to-day responsibilities, the organising of the weekly service and Bible studies and thinking about outreach and making sure the buildings are clean and that everything's in good repair, writing sermons, leading meetings. Then there's the relational and the discipleship responsibilities, visiting people, meeting with others regularly to read the Bible, offering training and equipping, caring for the sick or struggling, caring for new people, caring for those who haven't been to church for a while. And on top of all of that, you have the emotional concern for people, the worry when people start to drop off in their involvement, the struggle when they're listening to people or to ideas that they shouldn't be, when they get captivated by the things of this world, or they simply fail to be gripped by a love, by a passion for the things of God. The heartache when those exploring the faith decide to turn away. And there are the inevitable problems that come when one person is responsible for all of that. First, he will burn out. He will drown, overwhelmed by the practical and by the spiritual responsibilities that he has been given. Second, some of those responsibilities will be forgotten or put to the side. And then whenever he's reminded of all that he should be doing, he will drown again, this time in despair and shame. And third, the people under his care will feel shortchanged, abandoned. They might even start to form a group of complainers and feel less enthused for the things of the church, which only makes all of these things spiral. This is not what God wants for his church. He knows all of these potential problems, and in his wisdom and in his love, he has given a gift to his bride. He has given elders. And that's the main point for today's sermon. Elders are Christ's gift to his needy church. And as we think about that main point, that elders are Christ's gift to his needy church, in our first heading, we'll look at that first word, and we'll see that it is elders with an S. In the Bible, it is never a one-man show. God's people have always been led by a team, working together for the good of others and for the glory of God. And Exodus 18 is just one example of that principle. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, saw a problem. Verses 13, 14. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" Now, we need to be careful here, because we shouldn't think that Moses is just like a church minister. When you read the Bible, Moses is unique. He saved his people. He was the instrument that God used to save his people from slavery and lead them to the promised land. He, on the way, revealed God's word to them, God's law. Moses, instead of pointing forward to ministers, points forward to Jesus. Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has saved his people, not from physical slavery in Egypt, obviously, but from spiritual slavery to Satan. Satan is the slave master of all who sin, and Jesus came to free all those who would trust him from that slavery and to bring us to the promised land of heaven. So we can't draw a straight line from Moses to church ministers. And the other men raised up in this chapter weren't called elders here. They were to help Moses in judging cases. But the principle is here that God's people aren't meant to be led by one man, but by a team. A similar scene pops up in Numbers 11. 70 elders are chosen to help Moses lead God's people. They were given God's spirit to equip them in the task. And we could keep going. We could focus on the reality that there were three separate offices in Israel: the king, the priest, and the prophet. And until Jesus, one man didn't and couldn't fulfill all three. Into the New Testament, Jesus appointed 12 apostles. Paul, in Acts 14, appoints elders in every church. Elders with an S. Elders are Christ's gift to his needy church. His plan is not that his people be led by one guy doing his best, but by a team. You've probably seen on one of those talent shows a one-man band. He's got a drum strapped to his back. Maybe he's got a banjo, a whole lot of whistles, horns, a mouth organ, and more wrapped around him. By himself, he manages to entertain, to play all of these instruments at just the right time. One-man band, it is amazing. But they can't play their banjo and honk their horn at the same time. They can't sing and play the mouth organ at the same time. He manages to play these instruments close together, but they can't all be played at the same time. Instead of church leadership being a one-man band, God wants it to be like a multi-person band, each contributing in their own way for the good of the church. Elders are Christ's gift to his needy church. So that's elders with an S, because in our second heading, elders share the load. See what Jethro says to Moses in Exodus 18, verses 17 to 18. "What you are doing is not good. You and the people will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." If Moses didn't do something, he would be crushed. Leading God's people is more than anyone except the Lord Jesus can do alone. There are too many plates to spin, too many balls to juggle. Like an Olympic weightlifter who lifts the barbell for a moment only for it to come crashing down, that's what happens when one man is given the responsibility to care for, to lead, and to teach God's people. The plates, the balls, the weights will come crashing down. In Exodus 18, the issue was judging, interpreting God's law, deciding who was right, who was wrong, and what the punishment should be. And with extra judges, verses 22 to 23, it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, you will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. Did you notice that not only will this be good for Moses as he shares his load, but it will be good for the people? When Jethro had seen the people gathered around Moses, he said back in verse 18, what we already read, "You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you." Moses' leaders More leaders among God's people isn't only a good thing to prevent burnout for the leader, but it's good for God's people. It means they can be cared for. It won't surprise any of you to be told that I am not better than Moses. I do not have a bigger capacity. I am certainly not more gifted. And most, if not all of you, have felt that same frustration that the people had in Exodus 18, that things are getting missed. You might even feel as though you are being missed. And if that's the case, then I am sorry. I am well aware of at least some of my weaknesses, and if you have suffered because of them, I am sorry. Which just goes to show the kindness of Jesus in organizing his church to have multiple elders caring for his people. He's so loved his people that he went to the cross to die for them, bearing the punishment of their sins, and then he rose to give us a sure hope of eternal life, and then he's poured out his Spirit into our hearts. Right now, he's interceding for his people to his Father, and he has given elders. Elders are Christ's gift to his needy church. And when there's more than one elder, not only do they share the load, but they each bring different strengths. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that the church is a body with different gifts for the good of the church. And so, as we extrapolate there, elders, they don't all come from the same cookie cutter. They're all to have certain qualifications, which we're going to look at in the next few weeks. But while there are those similarities, there are also differences, which is good. Each elder brings something unique to the table, all for the good of Christ's bride and body. Elders are Christ's gift to his needy church. We've seen that it's elders with an S and that multiple elders share the load. Now, in our third heading, we remember that elders bring wisdom. Jethro told Moses in verse 21 to choose able men. They needed to be able to do their job. They needed wisdom to decide cases. Elders also need to have wisdom. Not that they know all the answers, but they know where they can find the answers. They're able to discuss problems and issues with a calm head, even to disagree with one another graciously, to add their opinion into the mix and have their opinion considered with weight because their opinion is recognized as important to the group, contributing to the wisdom of the eldership. Proverbs 27:17 reminds us, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. In the cut and thrust of discussion among elders, at its best, one presents an idea and another challenges it and offers suggestions to improve it. In some cases, they might simply disagree wholeheartedly with a suggestion, and both sides need to work to convince the other and the other elders around them. There is wisdom to be found there when all the people that are involved are godly, as elders are meant to be. It means that one person can't simply have his own way. Others need to agree. Having more than one person involved in decision-making will also mean that less issues are missed because different people are naturally more focused on different issues or problems or difficulties or opportunities even. We see an example of this in Acts 15, in what's become known as the Jerusalem Council. There was a debate about what to do with the Gentiles who were coming into the church. Did they have to be circumcised and then obey the law before they could be considered Christian, part of the church? And to answer that question, the apostles and the elders gathered in Jerusalem and they debated. Paul talked about the Spirit coming to the Gentiles like he had done to the Jews at Pentecost. Paul and Barnabas talked about the signs and the wonders that had been done through them among the Gentiles. And then finally, James spoke. And the council agreed that the Gentiles would be welcomed into the church, that they were saved by faith in Jesus not by following the law. As the elders met, they brought wisdom. Some of you have gone through membership classes with me, and you might remember at least something of the last session where we discussed the issue of leadership and structure. For most people, that is not the most exciting or interesting session. I don't understand why, but there you go. And because the Presbyterian Church is so committed to churches being led by elders with an S, so that they can share the load and bring wisdom, we have been borrowing elders from other churches. For many years, we have had Philip Burns bringing his many years of pastoral experience. We've more recently had Daryl Jackson from Castlemaine, and I am very thankful for these men. I would hate it if I was the only person making decisions in this church. I am not strong enough to bear that load and responsibility. I am not wise enough. Throughout their time on session, which is what we call the body of elders, they have provided much wisdom. But because they are busy with their own churches, because they're not here, they're not able to share much of the load. And for many years, we have been praying that God would raise up elders from this congregation, that there would be more than just me as the local elder. You've heard us during our prayers in the service almost every week asking that God would raise up elders. And now session has called for an election. It is asking the congregation if it recognizes anyone as being qualified for the task. And again, we'll be talking about those qualifications over the next few weeks. But Session believes that there could be someone, and is bringing the question to the congregation. This is potentially an exciting time for this church. Elders are Christ's gift to his needy people, his needy church, and we are needy. And so, what should we do given all of this? Well, we should continue to pray. Have you noticed in the pew sheet those prayer ideas for the week? Have you noticed that prayer for the provision of elders is always there? So please, if you're not already, pray for elders. Add it to your regular list of prayers. Please pray. These next few weeks, as we think about eldership and as we nominate and as we vote, the members of this church will need wisdom which only comes from God's Spirit. Please pray. Pray that we would not nominate or vote for people based on worldly ideas or for certain expectations that we have in our own minds, but that we would be wholly driven by God and the priorities that he lays out in his word for his elders. Pray that God would provide an elder, that he would keep providing elders, that we would be wise to recognize his gift when he gives it. And praise God. Praise God that he does care about his church. He cares so much that he gives elders to care for, to lead, to comfort, to encourage and teach and defend his people. Praise God for those who have done that for us in the past and who are doing it for us now, for Philip and for Daryl. Praise God that he rules his church through his elders. Elders are Christ's gift to his needy church. And we are needy. Pray that he would, in this time of eldership elections, provide us with what we need. And let's pray. Our God, we do thank you that you provide for the needs of your people. We pray, our God, that we would be prayerful during this time, that we would be prayerful, that our expectations would be according to your word, that you would give us eyes to see those who are qualified for this task, for this role, this calling of being an elder. We pray, our God, that you would indeed raise up a man and many men among this church, that we would flourish and grow, that we would be cared for, each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or if you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.